Welcome to Highway Diary. That's the premise here. Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Joseph Pete Larkin. We met in New Orleans several times. We were both pariahs of the comedy scene.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you get into any trouble after you put my podcast up that I was on?
Oh my God, I've been blocked on Facebook from people.
Really? I mean, I don't even know these people. I've never even met probably most of them.
Well, let's say you do an open mic for 2 years, right? Yeah. Everything goes smooth. You shake their hands. You go, thanks for stage time. When you leave, everything's cool. Then they block you on Facebook 6 months into living in Los Angeles. I mean, like, the stench that I have on the scene.
They blocked you when you moved here?
Yeah. One of them.
They're jealous bitches.
A couple
bitches.
Of them.
Haters.
And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
So you're a little bit of a pariah from the scene.
I'm a piranha.
What happened? There was some kind of accusation that you smacked a bitch.
Yeah.
Some kind of accusation. Where'd that come from? Who started that rumor? Is it based on anything?
Well, first, I smacked that bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
She had it coming.
No. I don't care about that. It's like, pretty much the whole time I've been doing comedy, yeah, there have been haters. And the rumor mongering and storytelling, that started way before I moved here. You know what I mean? I did run afoul of some bad motherfuckers here, though. So, hence a terrible reputation, which I unfortunately have not earned. But I'm willing to try.
What is your reputation, and how did you earn it? Like, what? Just explain more. What is your reputation? What did someone try to paint you as? What's actually going on?
Well, see, that's the problem. Is that there's this pretty. There's this thing like that, they call it the Chinese telephone. Did I interact with those guys?
Yeah.
The Chinese telephone, you, as a kid, like, you, some, your teacher says whisper something in one kid's ear, and then it's like, it starts out like, the dog went to the market, and then by the end of 21 kids, it's like, the frog went to the market.
That's pretty much, I think, what happened to me, is that, like, once the stories start rolling, people embellish them.
Yeah.
So, like, I have a terrible reputation in New Orleans for breaking equipment, and that stuff followed me here, too. But I never broke anybody's equipment. That's just
you dropped a mic.
But I didn't break it, you know. I would have paid for it if I had broken it, too.
But you didn't break it. You just dropped it. You were violent with the equipment. So then that extrapolated.
For sure. But then, yeah. It just snowballs.
Was it just serve your comedy, though? And then you drop it, like,
oh, hell thing. Yeah.
Yeah, then that's fine.
It's my
comedy. Happens on stage is fine.
Look, art is just in my mind. Whatever I justify my...
And the dynamic mic shouldn't just break like that. It's like, there's nothing in there.
It wouldn't break. It did not break. That's not why they didn't like me, though. They didn't like me before. This is what I'm trying to say. Like, I just never fit in anywhere. And they want you out. And this is something I didn't really understand when I was doing comedy in New Orleans, is that, like, everywhere you go and do comedy, they're psychos. They're all psychos. We are all psychos.
We're all manic and desperate.
We're psychotic.
Yeah.
And some people just had it rougher growing up or something, or just didn't process it correctly.
Yeah.
So, like, I give you, this is it. My very first set I ever did, because I told them it was my first set ever, they're like, okay, well, we'll give you 3 minutes, right? And they just didn't want me to come back. So they never let me. I did 6 minutes. 6 minutes. I didn't have fucking 6 minutes of jokes. That they just, and to be honest, when I look back on it, I'm like, oh, they did that to like 5 comics I showed up. They just don't want you around for whatever reason. For me, I know that I rub people the wrong way. They definitely...
Is there like a style of comedy that they would accept or adhere to?
Whatever.
Do certain host
is.
Of mics, like, oh, yeah. Is there also, this is what I've come to realize, that what, looking back at a lot of my experiences, is that when someone is at a small town open mic and they don't...
Picked up by Johnny Depp. We're going to go up into the hills and fuck.
Give each other HIV, allegedly.
Give each other. I got it, bro.
Receive. when someone runs an open mic and they don't write jokes and they have 10 minutes and then some new person comes to the audience that they feel like they curated and does really fucking good, does that really sting them?
Yes.
When it's material that they don't like? Or
they don't
that's
write jokes. That's a, you know,
just
'cause
you're new.
Even that is a thing, yeah. Well, yeah, if you come, like, dude, I wrote for fucking 2 years before I went to any of them. Like, I had some jokes. They weren't good jokes, but they were jokes.
Right.
So, like, these dudes don't do fucking jokes. They just go up and talk about their fucking day. And talk about what they saw on TV that bothered them.
That's new material.
There is no material. There is no material.
It's because you're comfortable. They got comfortable. I bet when they started.
They did. Well, they have, when you're, like, the big fish in the little pond, you think that what you say goes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so I got into with all these people that were going to the Carrollton Station, which was the cool open mic. I got banned from it, like, immediately.
See, like, I did that for 2 years, and then one of the hosts of the show, the main host of the show, now has blocked me since I've moved here. And, like, I remember doing his mic for 2 years, where, like, I sign the list, I say, thank you very much, thank you. And then everything is fine. I have a good set. Everything's fine. I don't know why I've been blocked.
You do see that they
since.
don't like you because you had a good set. Like, you make an enemy when you have a good set. Especially in a town like L.A. And I guess New Orleans is not really that much different. They're all the fucking same, really. Yeah. But they hate you it still shines to me. I don't understand it. I always thought if I got better at comedy, people would be more embracing of me. That was terrible for so many years. And I was just a burden on the scene, really. I was bombing all the time. I'd bomb every fucking time I went up.
I feel like
for years.
Yeah.
Here it's more aggressive. Like, they're like, you're eating out of my plate. Like, when you're
taking
their
90
room
from me, which they have no business even doing this for free, let alone get paid for it.
Right.
Delusional. You have to be delusional a little bit to go on stage and think anyone should listen to you, but they take it to levels that are fucking real to me. Like, I just, like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, but that's what we're doing with this project. We're about to go on the road in September and shoot 30 shows in 20 days. And I know that my shows don't always go well. So it's like, what I'm going to do is shoot as many shows as possible. Just like there's this old psychic that would go around called Kevin Trudeau. I don't know. He had a show and he was a psychic. He would do cold readings. He would go, you, there's someone in your family called P. P. They would get them to say, Paula, my aunt Paula. Yeah, Paula. Did she pass? Yeah. When she would say, yeah, then he would go, I can make up any shit now. Okay? So sometimes it would go well, sometimes it wouldn't. That's kind of like live theater, live comedy. So, like, I'm getting as many shows as possible. Some of them are going to go terrible. You will not see them. That's why it's, like, volume.
I think that you should post, or not post, you should put the stuff where you bomb. Especially if you epically bomb, because people need to see what comedy is really like. They have no fucking idea.
The dark underbelly?
It's rough, dude.
Yeah. What club was that? No, we went to...
Oh, yeah, Norwood.
Yeah, the Norwood, right?
Do you want to come down one?
Yeah, man. So we were at Norwood, and we're filming a set of his, but in order to get that, it took some hounding to get the...
Of the booker.
Yeah.
And then he said he would give us 8, and he lights after 4, and then...
The
it's
whole
like,
time he's talking shit about him while he's...
Yeah, he was, like, interrupting the crowd that was trying to listen by saying how I'm bad during the setups. Because some of my setups are 45 seconds, and the joke comes at the 52, 51, 50... He doesn't got that attention span. So I'm in the middle of the setup, and he starts going, oh, what the fuck? This is the guy that's handing me, he doesn't have shit. I just started saying the first sentence of my joke, and this fucking drunk asshole is... And then he lights me early after, like, he fucking ruins the crowd in the background.
And we leave, so we don't interrupt the crowd. We go out the back, and are instantly accosted by this belligerent drunk dude.
Oh, yeah.
Who's like, oh, I like your camera. What kind of... And I was like, just... Because I didn't want to have to deal with this guy. I was like, it's a really old camera. It's like my dad's, and he got it from something. And then And then, like, we hung out a little too long trying to get to the car, and then Big Mike came out across the back.
And, Big Mike's the host.
Yeah, Big Mike's the host, and he's, like, tight with this super drunk guy for some reason.
Who's, like, hounding us. Almost seems like he's trying to steal the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like, right. Oh, so like, where'd you get that? Like, trying to...
Where can I pawn it?
Yeah, where
exactly?
What do you think I would get at the pawn shop?
It was dark alley. Oh. It was so sketchy.
And like I'm like squaring up against this dude, but he keeps on like grabbing us too, and it's just like, fucking Christ! Can you have some crowd control? Oh, that's your best friend. So this is just the retard show today, like.
Like this guy's a punk style, like. Yeah, he's like, he was like yelling at us like that we were pony style, because we were just trying to get out of there.
Answering all of his like hobo questions.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what the comedy scene's really
like. It's hard. It's not easy.
So your podcast is all about trolling. You grew up Catholic and you used to troll your priest. He would try to give you a confession. And you would troll him.
I feel like I'm on Byron Allen. Well, let me do my prepared bit now. Yeah, you know, I was thinking, like, when I was a kid, I didn't think I was a troll. Like, the concept of trolling wasn't, like, whatever, mainstream before the internet. No one talked about it. I don't know if it existed, but. I would sneak out and put, like, pentagrams on all the stop signs and shit. Whatever. Satan. I just write Satan on my wall.
We lived... There was us, the woods, and then the entire bus station for all of... I shouldn't say the county, but all the county school buses. Mm-hmm. And when we were, like, young kids, we'd go over there, and we first started just sneaking over there for every single session of the first cell and shit. Like, we'd get them all black and stuff. We started bringing knives over there for no goddamn reason. Like, we never really planned that out. Exactly. And we were, like, in this, like, federal or this county school thing. And then we started, like, stabbing the tires of the things and tearing apart the inside. We were in fourth or fifth grade. And we trashed. We broke into the thing. We sneaked all the way across the other side of the place to... And we talked about getting the flag down and flipping it upside down for no reason, but...
Rage Against the Machine, bro.
Exactly.
Well, he's from Florida, too. You have to know that.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. No, they're easier. It's easier to troll these fuckers.
Exactly.
I know their weak points. You know, I want to talk about rumors just for a second. I should have said this earlier instead of whatever flip shit I said. I love them. I never dispute them. I they're way better than the truth.
The
truth
in
my life is
today?
So boring. He did die today.
Okay, so Sean Rouse is dead.
He's dead as fuck. He ain't coming back.
He had rheumatoid arthritis his whole life. His bones were all fucked up, but he had a heart attack today, or a couple days ago.
Yeah, that
would have been sucked if we were done there. That guy's not going to go through the thing. He's just going to walk right through the camera.
Just all about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that guy works there.
Yeah.
All about his
stuff. Oh, yeah, he would have kicked it over.
Yeah, he would have get the shit out of my
phone.
Yeah. I think we're good.
We
are doing an underground documentary right now. We're in a fucking sewer next to the comedy store. The comedy store is right over there. We've snuck in an alleyway to film here. You know.
Rumors and shit talking is good, too. Because it, like, expands your profile.
Yeah.
For me, I have to tell you, I think, like, I got gigs over there because the old booker was like, who is this fucking psycho I keep hearing about? And I just happened to have a good set.
Right.
You know,
so the rumor mill can also, like, expand in someone's head. You dropped the mic at Carrollton Station one time. All of a sudden, it expands into someone's head where this guy ruins equipment. This guy's a problem, you know? And like,
on stage, like burning sets and stuff.
I like to set the mic on fire.
Yeah.
And do this. Yeah. Like Jimi Hendrix.
I'm gonna fucking break this shit. That's how you always start your set.
I never broke anything. That part actually does kind of bother me in the respect that I've bought equipment. I know how much this shit costs, so I never break someone else's. And other people have broken my shit, so I know, again, how much it costs. But
yeah.
That's like how nefarious these fuckfaces are. It was because I moved to LA. They didn't give me any stage time there, so I had to move somewhere. This is where I chose to do it.
Yeah.
And then when I, before I got here, motherfuckers had sent them messages. Because one time, I went up at the Improv, and some fuckface that lives here was like, he's like, oh, Joseph Clark is next. I hope he doesn't break anything. I don't fucking break anything except your fucking teeth. If you say that again, you lie. The fucking booker's in the room.
So that's
how shameless these shitbags are.
How many emails are they sending instead of writing jokes?
Amen, brother. How about booking, how about email a booker instead of talking about gossip? What are you doing all day, you fucking loser?
It's easier to tear someone else down than hold themselves up.
The trolls. So
you're
a troll.
In a bad way.
You're a troll for good?
For justice.
What does that mean?
I don't know. See, what's weird about our modern society, just stating your opinion is trolling. That's pretty much all we do. I like trolls. I think they're fucking funny, dude.
They move the conversation.
Exactly. He pushes it forward. This is something I think is really interesting. Everyone's all boo-hooing about Trump. This is the first time anyone's paid attention to politics in America in like fucking 2 decades.
That's true.
It's great. He's doing a great thing for you, assholes. He's making you pay attention to what the fuck's going on all of a sudden. It's incredible. Maybe you'll vote next time and he won't get elected again.
Yeah, maybe the Democrats don't prop up someone who lost the primary because she's in bed with the banks. The thing is, Bernie came out and he's like, oh, free college, free healthcare. The system's like, no, we can't afford that. We're the Illuminati banks. We don't want to pay for these poor people. Fucking shut that guy up.
Bernie would never have gotten anything done because the Congress would have been pushing back the whole.
So instead of getting his conversation out there, they get some lady who she attacks all of Bill Clinton's fucking. Every time Bill Clinton puts his dick in somebody. And they start getting uppity about telling people, like the police. Hillary goes after them.
Oh, man,
like a hawk lesbian.
He just explained what that term was. I was like, I never heard it before.
Suicided?
Yeah. He
Do you think Anthony Bourdain was suicided? Me too.
Absolutely.
What about Kelly Spade?
Oh, hell yeah.
Kate Spade.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, because when the news says, hey, this person committed suicide, and this person committed suicide. Wow, you know, we really got to talk about alcoholism. We really got to talk about depression. It's like, no, we got to talk about a story that was created by the CIA going around suiciding people. Because they're going to tell some shit.
Kate Spade. It makes you look back at the other deaths of the last year and go, oh wait, Chris Cornell was suicided. So was the other dude from the other band got suicided. So was maybe Robin Williams.
Right.
Dude, the way that these people killed themselves, you really have to work at it. You have to, like, pull your... They're doing it with a doorknob.
That's what they say. That's what they put out. A red scarf on a doorknob. A red scarf on a doorknob. That's CIA speak for we suicided them. It was a red scarf on a doorknob. That's how Kate Spade did it. And isn't that how... No, Bourdain too. Yeah, weren't they both the same cause? Red scarf on a doorknob? It's like, okay. That's someone in the CIA going, I don't have the clearance to tell you this, but cuckoo-raccoo! Cuckoo-raccoo!
Sounds like fun. I love that, like...
They're the murder trolls.
They are, dude, because they always put little clues into everything that they do. Everything, you have to look at the numbers, because the numbers always reference some shit in the past that, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't just cavalierly do these things on random days. They've been picking that day out for fucking ever. Had a nice ring to it, or like people just remember it from like I don't know. I could see 227 people getting killed one day. 227. Remember like that TV show you used to like?
Right.
You never forget 227 after that. You'd be like, oh hell yeah, 227.
Isn't that when Lincoln got shot? Don't worry about that.
Yeah, and then you go back February 27th. That is the day Lincoln got shot. That's when the CIA came to power.
It was really just about blowjobs, and they figured it out. If we kill these people, we can quiet them out. Get as many blowjobs as possible. I wouldn't be surprised.
Nothing shocks me, man. I live in Hollywood. I've seen it all.
So speaking of Hollywood, speaking of seeing it all, you know, someone who I believe semi-committed suicide is John Rowe.
Yeah.
Not too far from here.
Where was it in relation to where we are right now?
Starbucks. Do you know which Starbucks?
Near Burbank.
Burbank. So I guess he was fucking with flappers. But, yeah, I mean, I drove him to the airport when he, you know, came to Los Angeles, where we are now. The Comedy Store is right over there. And I do have, like, this weird survivor's guilt thing where I think, like, I could have also kept on the I-10 West and took him to his mom and dad's house in Baton Rouge and not taken him to the airport because it didn't seem like he saved a dollar to do the trip. It didn't seem like his substance abuse was under control at all. He was taking oxycodone pills when he was at my house. So, like, you know, when D.C. Paul came to me at Siberia and was like, John Rowe passed away, I wasn't for a second ever thinking, how did that happen? I knew the way he was living was ridiculous. You know, my friend Xander Forrest got him a burrito one time. He ate two bites of it and drank a pint of vodka, like, at 11 a.m. So it's like, when you're like, John Rowe passed away, it's like, okay. Damn. But what was so crazy about him is how funny he was fucked up because, like, just the level of not giving a fuck about anything. And also, nobody could say shit to him. You know, like a black guy, a minority, he would push it so hard and just be like, I wish all white women would be dead. I wish they would all die. White women are ruining this country.
It's not wrong.
You know? And he would...
Should have ran for president on that platform.
Yeah, he could have won. I would have voted for him.
Yeah.
What do you remember about John?
Well, I have to tell you. We were talking about earlier about the false flag conversation. That was at Siberia?
Yeah,
that's called Siberia.
On Mondays, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so did he ever see me do stand-up there? Was he there that night?
I'm sure.
I don't remember seeing him there, but he did see me do stand-up, like, two nights later, where I just fucking ate it so hard.
At Carrollton?
No. You know what's funny? I am a fucking troll, because after I got banned from Carrollton Station, I did go back there and perform on the stage. I brought a girl with me, and she got on stage, and I was like, alright, I'll take over. that's why they don't like me. I thought I didn't earn it. I deserve it. So at that Siberia show, I had a real good set, and the host was like, yo, how much time can you do? I was like, 30. He's like, cool, I'll give you $50 to do 30 Covington movies on Wednesday.
Thursday.
Or Thursday, yeah. Okay, this was a fucking nightmare. So I roll in there, there's like no one in there, right? The guy I know, his name was Corey Mack. He wasn't there. It was some other fuckface that was hosting. Corey Mack had been there, we put a good show, but he was like out of town or some shit. So the guy, I just sit in the crowd, which is like three people, and the guy who's host, he's sound checking. He sound checks for 20 minutes, and his sound check is just him making fun of me. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like, asshole, I'm the headliner, idiot. What are you doing? Stupid fuck. All right. No one was lit. Anyone did as much. Dude, so many fuckheads showed up. There was like fucking 20 people. Everyone had as much time as they want. It was a booming. It was a banging room at one point. I tried to other people had fun. But it was so tedious. I just left for like hours. There's no sidewalk in Covington, so I was just walking on the highway just to do something that wasn't watching those idiots.
Yeah.
Anyways, I go back there. There are three. Oh, wait. There's probably like six people left in the crowd, and the bartender, and then the host just left. He puts me on stage and just leaves. I don't know where the fuck he went. And I have no idea where that guy went.
and run.
I launch into my first bit, which is like, 3 minutes long, and there's like a light in my eye, and I do it. And after it's over, no laughs. No one says anything. I look out, and I'm like, oh, wait, there's like three people left. I don't know where the fuck the other three or five people went. They took off. So it was just me talking to them, and then John came in and watched with his back turned to me and drinking. And then giggling to himself every so often when I said something amusing. But I was just telling these three women, I was like, listen, No, it was two women and a dude. I was like, listen, if you just leave, I'll talk to the bartender and this guy over here that I know and have a great time. Just leave. Please leave. I was like, I've done comedy for no one. I would much rather do it if you just leave. They hated me so much. They wouldn't say anything. They just stared me down. They stared me the fuck down. Like, when I bomb, motherfuckers. When other people talk about bombing,
they were like, why aren't you doing jokes? Tell us.
I was doing jokes. They hated the jokes so fucking much. They hated me so much. But when I bomb, they hate me so much. They want to watch me suffer. They want to watch me twist in the wind. They will not leave. I can't walk them. I'm asking them, please leave. Please go. And I kept telling them, like, when that fucking host comes back, I'm getting the fuck out of here. But I am getting my $50. I was like, I will be compensated for this. Those fucking asshole audience members stayed and watched me get paid. That's how long they stayed. They would not leave.
They watched you shake down the MC. Look, man, I came all the way out here to this fucking hick state.
Dude, it's the next town over from where I grew up.
That was the only time you met John at Covington one time?
No, I met him here in L.A. too.
Oh, okay.
I met him one time on the patio of the Comedy Store.
How did he look? That was days before his death.
He actually looked fine.
Yeah?
I mean, I don't know. He looked okay. I don't know. Maybe he was hitting the bottle harder in the coming days or something. It's also expensive to drink here, so maybe he just wasn't like...
Maybe he had withdrawal or something.
Could be. He seemed pretty low-key. For sure.
In New Orleans, everybody was drinking stuff, and that's where I met John, that's where I met Eric, and everybody from New Orleans, and I thought that, I was like, yeah, it's just how, like, dudes do it here, and then he came out to L.A. and he was doing that, and so I didn't notice any difference, like, from first day to last day. I noticed Pills, like, a little bit, but I was like, I guess he handles his own thing. I never thought about it, and yeah, it was just a big surprise.
Once you enter once you engage with the comedy community, you see like so much insane addictive behavior. I couldn't even know when to step in and say anything. All the people I've met here are 1,000 times more addicted to drugs and alcohol than anyone I've ever known, including my alcoholic parents, anyone I've ever met. I was like, it's unreal sometimes when I'm like hanging out with these people. I was like, holy fucking shit, you guys are just like pounding the alcohol and then also like five other assortments of drugs too at the same time. It's like, shit, man. It's something else. Comedians are something else.
It's just like the same thing that says, I'm in pain, or I felt like nobody listened to me. Y'all gotta listen to me. Everybody shut up. Let me have the microphone. But I felt like I wasn't heard, so I want to be heard right now. And that's what stand-up is. And so that's, and the crazy pressure that someone so wounded is put under constantly.
We're sadomasochists. I say we're sadists because it's like sadistic to inflict yourself on people that don't want to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially. But we're also masochists because, like, man, I just told you horrific stories, but I'd go back and do that show again in a fucking heartbeat. $50. Get out of here. I was so psyched.
I had a terrible roast battle, May 22nd, terrible, where I'm like, oh, I'm thinking I'll be able to put this roast battle in my special, all this stuff. I mean, it couldn't have gone worse. I look like a racist. I don't want to get in details. But it just went as bad as possible. When they were like, you know, they do that thing like, hey, should this person win? Should this person win? Mm-hmm. Like, literally not one person did that. When they put their, it was like, get, go, die. And, like, I almost felt like my demons, you know, they were like, let's just find a new host. Let's get rid of this guy. You know, it was like the pain of, like living short of, it was, but I mean, I was hanging out with Jay Light a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, can I battle, like, Robin Tran and Joey Rowe? Can I get, like, the hardest possible people? I just want to go in there against the hardest battlers, and because I've written jokes for them already, and because I'm a student of the game, and I know the position of everything, and it's like, I think I could win. I don't care how many times I lose. I'm so stupid where I think, no, yeah, okay. Like, can you imagine being, like, a UFC fighter and your, like, toes get curled? You're, like, knocked out, like, vibrating after, like, a 5-second fight. And you're like, well, I didn't even fight. Give me... Can I go up 6 weight classes and fight that guy? Like, just, like, to get it off of your system, you know? It's intense, man. This is no joke.
Yeah, we're a bunch of psychos. Well, I can tell you this. There's no drug that ever compared to, like...
Yeah.
There's no experience like that.
Is that why some people, like, never write jokes?
Well, they don't even... No, they don't even know what killing is. Like, you know killing. You feel it in your fucking soul. It's like some kind of... You're like a puppet of God, and you're speaking His words, and everybody loves it. And you're so on point, and you're getting all these laughs, but you're still 5 clicks ahead of them. So I'm telling you, I'm already thinking of the other jokes I'm going to tell them while they're enjoying this joke. This joke ain't shit. It's the fucking best feeling in the world. I do feel like a conduit to God or something like that. That's how I know I'm
meant to feel. Well, comedy can be a religion when everyone is laughing at the same truth that you expose.
Well, that's what I like, is that when does anyone agree on anything, and then everyone in the room agrees that we like this concept, we like this joke.
Yeah.
And I wrote that joke. That's pretty fucking cool. Yeah. There's nothing cooler than that.
It's hard sometimes. My first special is going to be called Conspiracies and Dick Jokes. And I think that conspiracies, like how fucked up the government really is so dark that it's like really hard to write material about MKUltra mind control programs where they make these sleeper assassins that may not have killed JFK, Robert Kennedy, JFK Jr., Martin Luther King. All these people are dead. Because of these weird government programs, like when you really get into it, it's like, fuck, man. You know, they sabotaged JFK Jr.'s airplane because he was about to beat Hillary for a Senate seat. That's fucking weird. It's probably true, but it's weird. You know, so like writing jokes about that is like, woof. He was a yuppie when
it was
cool.
JFK rolling around in a fucking convertible for? Even the Pope doesn't do that shit. He's infallible.
He's got a glass dome over him.
Yeah, if the Pope is not throwing caution to the wind, the President should definitely not be rolling around.
Well, the Pope may have ordered it. That's a different issue.
Dude, thank God they didn't hit Jackie, though.
Those tits?
Yeah, that's the best First Lady we ever had.
Ow, 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 ow! When she was, like, bent over because her husband's brains were blown out. When she was, like, bent over that limo. Woo. That looked good. The things I would do to that bottom.
Yeah, her husband.
He was fucking everybody. She would have been cool with it. She liked it, that dirty bitch.
Yeah, of course she did. Like, she's fucking the biggest man in the world. The most powerful man. Yes. And he's fucking Marilyn Monroe, too.
Right.
But he married me.
Right.
That makes my pussy the best. Jackie on asses must have some pretty good pussy.
It's so wet on, like, security.
Mm-hmm.
That's what lit women like. Anyway,
they love being adored.
conspiracy. So, I don't know what my point was. It's tough to make a...
See, I love conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to know the truth, but I first of all, I hope it's, like, the dumbest conspiracy that turns out to be true. Like, I don't believe in reptilian shit, but I would laugh my balls off if that was what was really fueling mankind. Or, like, what if human sacrifice is completely fucking necessary, and when we don't, a fucking volcano happens? I'd love to find out that the shit that we were doing 1,000 years ago when we were, like, primitive was actually right on the fucking money.
Like, certain cults are like, no, we sacrificed babies. Do you know how many hurricanes would have happened if we didn't sacrifice these babies in occult rituals?
All we do is sacrifice. We sacrifice other people. Martyr them. Not martyr them, because we don't cherish them later, but, like, I mean, you know, even now in the Facebook age, it's like, I have to get this guy fired, I have to get his wife to break up with him, I have to ruin his life, I have to make the sacrifice. And let's face it, these fuckers that do say these rumors and stuff, it's because it's called projection. They've done crazy fucking shit, and they're like, well, this guy broke a microphone, I sure don't want anyone to know I put a microphone in a girl's ass.
This guy.
She's 4. Or whatever. So they're like, that guy, he did it. He's the guy that did it. They have to always be a sacrifice. Always.
That guy had a podcast with an autistic comic, and he made fun of him. He's banned from here. He's banned from here.
All comics are fucking autistic. You can't make fun of all of them. You ever try to make eye contact with a comedian? They don't fucking do it because they're autistic.
I just wanted the microphone when I know it's my turn. I need it to be my turn to talk. I need the microphone.
Well, at least if he's one of those autistics that are aware of it, then he's cool in my book. Most of these fuckers have no idea that they're completely, that they don't...
I say it's like a spectrum or whatever.
Yeah, some people are further along than others.
Like, probably Jerry Seinfeld is like that. You know, like, some comics, like Hannibal Buress would come to New Orleans, you know? He would do Siberia. He would do all the open mics, you know, Hannibal... But, like, Jerry Seinfeld would, like, come, he would do the Sanger Theater, he would sell out two shows in a row, and he would get on his private jet with all the money, and he would not talk to a fucking doorman on his way out.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. I can't wait. I hate talking to people. It's the worst.
That would be your ideal scenario? You have a sitcom, and then you don't have to talk to a fucking goddamn soul when you do stand-up?
It would be fun to have some fucking money, but... Nah, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I was raised better than that. But I do see, like, the appeal of it. Like, holy shit, what if you just never had to talk to anyone? Because people, I'm a nobody, but people bother me all the fucking time when I'm walking down the street. They're like, can I get some money? Can I suck your dick?
Yeah.
All these random guys trying to suck my dick all the time. It's like, stop it.
Well, it's probably juicy, you know? Don't sell yourself short.
It's a pretty good gig. I've gotten compliments. Some fat girls loved it.
I used to think, like, fat girls were so into me. Like, there was always fat girls around. I'm like, they're, like, into me, you know? And then, like, later on, I found out that they were just desperate.
You didn't realize that, huh?
Yeah. So, no, they're just trying to get some dick from anything.
Fat girls need love, too, but you won't get it from me. Yeah, no love for you.
But speaking of Hannibal, when I met Hannibal a couple times. I remember one time in particular where John Rowe was on stage and Hannibal came in and I was going next and then he was going after me. And John was going, Hannibal, man, he fucked me over, man. That nigga owes me $45. I bought drugs, I bought this and that, and he didn't pay me my $45. Yeah, I guess he's cool, big, mucking muck. And Hannibal's next to me going, man, I hate this fucking guy. I fucking hate this. Get this fucking guy. Corey, get this fucking guy off. Dude, and it's like, I was just thinking, John, you just hung out and did drugs with Hannibal. Take the loss on the $45. Or, better yet, maybe tell him discreetly off stage. No, he's got to make it his bit to try to humiliate him in this, like, alpha male kind of scenario. And, yeah, that was definitely a memorable night. Hannibal was so cool. You can definitely tell, like, bigger people are shitty. Tiffany Haddish and Hannibal Buress, when they came to town, they were as cool as fuck. Yeah. But anyway. Do you remember, so that was the only time we met John? Was at Covington at the Rock and Blues?
That's the only time I know I saw him. Oh, okay. I watched him from the bar.
Oh, okay.
And then I met him here. But that's probably it. I definitely saw him do stand at that time. He might have went up before me, in fact.
Right. That wasn't anyone.
Oh, no. I did come back eventually. But trust me, I still watched 40 minutes of comedy. Two comics. 40 minutes of comedy. It's kind of beautiful. I mean, you don't have that experience in L.A. I can't remember the last time I did more than fucking 5 minutes.
And that's the thing about New Orleans. I really was able to develop there because there's a lot of mics when you go looking for them. There's a lot of mics. You can go up twice a night most nights.
Yeah, it didn't used to be like that, though.
And it kind of developed, and so I would just go to every place I wasn't... you know, that's another thing that really helped me when I was banned from the Hi-Ho. I go, okay, I'm banned from here. I'm going to do every... Mike, every week that I'm not banned from, to go, eventually someone's gonna go whisper in their fucking cunt ears, you know this guy like murders at every mic every time. And that was the only thing that really motivated me to get out of bed and do it every night.
That's what everyone was motivated by.
Yep. I had a big pine cone up my ass and I go, oh, I'm gonna prove I'm better than all you motherfuckers, you know.
It's the only way to do it.
What drives you, Larkin? What's next for you? You got the Trolls podcast. You're at the Comedy Store. You said
things are happening.
you said to me you were tapering down the amount of sets you're doing now. Are you going into like a more philosophical state where you're trying to figure out this scene? You're trying to figure out this showbiz beast from a distance. What's going on in your head?
I would like to build my own little empire, very separate from Hollywood. They don't really have anything to offer me. I don't think I have anything to offer them. So, whatever. I aim to be a comics comic, but my what's beautiful is I'm a comics comic that all the comics hate. So I'm a special comics comic.
You're just a barnacle.
For sure.
On the scene.
Dude, sometimes people like, motherfuckers will see me here, and they'll be so cool, they'll go, he's still here. I used to have it. That's pretty good.
So spite, that's what gives you a boner.
No, I mean, I just enjoy doing it. I mean, that's just added bonus. It's a little icing on the cake that it irritates people I don't like.
Nowadays with podcasts and stuff, it's super, super viable to be completely like an island on your own, and but still like network with other people or whatever, other islands or whatever. You know, be a part of this mainland Sunset Strip Comedy Store or specific way that people don't for something. For $40 sometimes or something like that.
Yeah, there's not much that appeals to me about modern comedy right now, you know? Like, yeah, I am tapering off. I don't fucking want to be on the historical roast battle. I'm not a character. I fucking write very, like, personal shit that's important to me. Like, I have an agenda. I have things that I want to say. I have a philosophy, if you will, that I want to expand upon on stage. I don't want to be a fucking actor. Don't want to wear a fucking dumb wig. It's like, it's just, all these shows are popping up, the rap battle. I don't want to fucking rap, man. I have so much shit I have to tell you guys, and you're going to make me fucking jump through these lame-ass hoops that aren't even on fire to do it? It's bullshit. It sucks. I don't know. Like, I would never do the roast battle because I don't like to put in those feelings. But also, like, I don't want to talk about anyone else. I have so much to say. I've been doing this for fucking 9 years now. I just want to stand up. I have a lot I want to say to people. Now, it's like building up inside of me.
There was an era that there was no just straight up stand up mic ever. And all the mics were like, had some kind of, or every show had to have some kind of twist to it. Like, there's one, I remember, where I went to, and it was like, you had to do your set inside the bathroom, and it had to be like, you take the microphone and go inside the bathroom and talk. It was mainly a girl's bathroom, it was a comedian, but there was all kinds of, like, it had to have its own, bullshit on to it.
Or like,
well, they're trying to get trick people into coming to the show.
Yeah.
But if they had good jokes and shit, they wouldn't need any of these fucking lame ass.
Yeah. And it's hard to get people to come to the same mic every week and write new jokes. So.
That's our fucking job, idiots. Like, what the fuck did you get into this for?
Attention.
Because their parents are good. Jokes, man. Like I said, I sat down and wrote jokes for 2 fucking years before I ever went anywhere near a microphone. The audacity of some of these motherfuckers that are trying, I guess they think it's fun or it's going to be a good time. They have no fucking idea what it's really like.
Yeah.
Like, I've met a lot of people here that the first time they did stand-up was in L.A. It's like, what? Are you dumb? Yeah. Why wouldn't you start somewhere small and get good at it? Maybe. And then come to L.A.?
Is it that stand-up isn't their main thing? Like, they
want to be actors or something like that.
Yeah, and they're like, well, this will help me get into
they just don't understand it. Like, yeah. You know, we don't give Eddie Murphy movies just because he did stand-up. He was really fucking good at stand-up and did amazing act-out, so you could tell he would be a good actor too later.
It's all there. It's all about the... So what you're saying is, it's all about the special.
Probably.
You prove it in the special.
But those guys' material is always shit. It's always just like, it's always... So I was working as a... there was literally a woman set I saw at Mike's house was... So I'm the body double for Amy Schumer in Trainwreck or whatever movie she was doing at the time, and her entire set was her experience as a body double for Amy Schumer, and she just had to make very wacky.
That's sad. So she's fat. Is that you're saying she's a fat bitch?
No, she's more than that. She's the body double. I don't know if you heard.
But see, maybe she's... actors first heard. They're just like, yeah, you can, like...
Oh, they don't give a fuck. They don't have an act. Most people just do they write 10 minutes of jokes and never upload. Ever. That's fine. Fuck them. Let them do that. That makes me look better in the long run. Amy Schumer, I have issues with her, but not because she steals jokes or whatever, but every time I've watched her stand-up, it's just 100% unrelatable. She's like, same with that fucker, no, not Kumail, what's the other guy? He's got Aziz. Aziz Ansari, it's like, I just met Kanye. It's like, well, how the fuck can I relate to this, dude?
Right, right.
I'm driving. Whatever. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm going to, like, eat fucking...
It's just, like, humble. It's like turning brags into, like... your routine, so everyone knows.
Amy Schumer's like that too. She's like, "Who's fucking paparazzi coming around taking pictures of me looking fat?" It's like, no one knows who that's like. You're in like the fucking 1% of 1% of 1% of people that experience that. You have to think, "Oh, this shit, is fucking funny. Cool. We need to turn the camera around."
No.
Fighting seems gay. Like, they seem gay to me.
Yeah,
it always ends with them, like, even when they're fighting and they're hugging and stuff.
Well, it's, like, all about, man. Dom, subs, you know.
Dude, he has a headlock on that kid. I can't tell if
they're big friends. Okay. They're big friends. They're about to kiss, dude.
Yeah.
Here it comes. Oh, hell yeah. That's intimate as fuck.
Is the camera going down a little bit from the weight?
No. I'll do the check.
We're good? You see me? Okay.
Especially now that I just activated the light again.
Man, it's a shame we're podcasting right over here, because this is where I usually take a whiz.
Yeah?
Go for it.
Do you guys want to have a special deleted scene?
Should we have a pee break?
Yeah. I'll be okay. I didn't see what time it is then.
Yeah. Because at
1:12,
1:55, my parking's over. I'm right there.
They won't get you in 5 minutes.
That's the craziest day to me. Sunset is President's Day or whatever day. I think it's like Labor Day for cops and government or whatever. I forget what it's called. I think President's Day. There's, you know, parking department people.
That's when they have the day off.
Yeah, they take off. In this neighborhood, they take off like 4 days a year. The rest of the time, they're fucking sharks.
Yeah. There's one guy following me around. It's Chavez. I get it every time that I go downtown. Like, $68 or $48 or whatever.
He's got a big van, you know, so every time he parks his van, there's like one guy who's like, oh, a van is actually section code 864, so I can give him the real fuck in the ass ticket.
You got a quota.
Yeah.
I got a ticket the last time I was at the Tommy store, and it was 4 in the morning. So I go, the fuck, dude, they're out in force, dude, 4 in the morning.
Do you think his shift starts at 3:30, or do you think he's like almost done for the night?
That's probably his last.
That can't be worth waking up that early for because if he's out there for, then he got up at 2 and he's waiting more than what it would take to get him out of bed for that much.
I was just glad I didn't tow it or something.
It's better for a ticket than a tow.
I've been towed. I got towed at, this is a great story, I guess, of sorts. I got towed at the premiere of the Kurt Cobain documentary. Courtney Love was there, and Frances Bean, who I would love to fuck. She's like a goth Kurt Cobain, and she's got a pussy. Way better than Kurt Cobain. I'm gonna fuck this guy, I've got a dick.
Well, he's got a hole in his head now, so that's hot.
Touche.
Is that his daughter?
Yeah, Frances Bean.
She just lost her guitar, the famous guitar that he used
to. She gave it to a boy. What was she thinking? What was she thinking? But anyway, I got to see Courtney Love in real life, and she was exactly the way you think she was. She was like demanding. She was like demanding the camera people on the red carpet to shoot her from this angle and blah blah blah. Very hands on.
Look, you're gonna see my stretch marks if your camera's over there. I have track marks if your camera's there.
What's your favorite Kurt Cobain conspiracy? You know, he must have been CIA.
Yeah, I don't know.
Flying out of nowhere at, like, age 22, selling millions of fucking albums.
Yeah, you never know if his dad was a programmer for MKUltra, programming brains. I don't know. I really don't. You want to look into the music industry in general, you know. You know who I've been looking into recently in the music industry is Mark Almond, who was in, Stems? The Stems? Whoever Mark Almond is. He had that song called Tainted Love.
Oh, yeah. He was in...
Tainted Love.
Soft Cell.
That's it. Look up the music video Tainted Love for Soft Cell, because the whole time you realize it's about pedophilia is what Tainted Love is.
Whoa, I never even thought of that.
He's trying to give a girl who's obviously a 5-year-old girl the apple of forbidden knowledge, and he's taunting her with the cardinal knowledge apple, and she's this little girl, and he's going, and he's singing the song to the little girl and thing, this tainted love you give me. He's like having a temper tantrum so that he'll make it like, oh, you give me mixed signals. I can't believe you're torturing me with your love. That's what the song is, to get her to feel guilty to do pedo shit with him. Watch Mark Almond do fucking Tainted Love. The official music video is totally an ode to pedophilia. And if you look at
I'm going to YouTube tonight.
One of his album covers looks like a plane going into two towers.
Oh, no.
One of his album covers is the setting of Freemasonic Hall. Mm-hmm. So, there's like, it's just a setting of a Freemasonic Hall. That's what it is. And it says Mark Almond, this and this and this. And then another album is the Twin Towers. It's predictive programming.
So Mark Almond did 9/11?
I don't think he did it. He's in a death cult that did it. Right?
Is the CIA the death cult?
No, I think there's the top of the Freemasons type of cabal.
Yeah.
That own the Federal Reserve.
They're definitely trying to normalize pedophilia. Do you notice they're always adding letters to the LGBT community? They snuck pedo in there.
They snuck a P?
I forgot. No, it might not be pedo. It's like some other word that means pedo. I forgot what it is.
LGBTQSLP. Old guys get to fuck 12-year-olds in the face. And we're in that group too. We're a minority. Look, we're oppressed.
Mm-hmm. There's this. I'd like to highly recommend to your listeners and viewers a movie called Chicken Hawk. It's on YouTube. It's un-fucking believable. It's both chilling and hilarious. Like how clueless these fucking child fuckers are. They really do think it's completely normal. They're like, whatever.
Yeah, chicken hawk.
What's your problem? And they're like, they'll be talking to these kids, and the kids are clearly just like being like polite or whatever to them, like being friendly. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, you saw he was making eyes at me, right? He's talking to the cameraman. Yeah. He's like, he's making eyes at me.
And there was one part where he was talking to the kid, and he's like, oh, yeah, oh, you're... The ice cream in your fridge, in the back of the fridge, that'll be our little secret. That'll be our little secret. He goes, and then the kid goes, it's not a secret, you got it on camera. He's saying, you fucking creep, what are you talking, this isn't a secret conversation. And he's like, no, that'll be our little secret.
Yeah. They're grooming him.
Grooming. Like, every conversation he has. He's just like some guy going, hey, what's up? What's up with you? What's up with you?
No, he's just like, kids are hanging outside of the fucking convenience store because they're in the middle of fucking nowhere. He just rolls up, starts talking to him.
Yeah.
It's completely weird. He has no idea. And they also interview the neighbors, and they're like, yeah, we got this fucking guy out of our neighborhood. he won't leave. He's like, oh. They talked to one guy who was a fucking teacher, and like he's he shows his apartment. He's like, yeah, you can see this elementary school from here and this one over here. He's like living in 2-block radius of 2 elementary schools.
He's like plotted all the exits, like before he rents the place. He's like, okay, so the kids are through this door, and then I can escape this way. That's it.
Well, I have an idea. Let's open the Coliseum up again. Put the kid fuckers to in the Coliseum to fight. And if you don't die, you can fuck kids a little bit longer. How's that? You can earn the right to fuck
kids. So then we'll take out 75% of them off the top.
Immediately. Now we'll have like just the apex predators of child predators. The fucking the lions and shit.
We let them live.
Let them roam free, dude. You earned it. That would be kind of cool. America's got pederasty.
No, we're just the minority LGBTQ people.
Oh, the whole reason I brought the movie up was that they go to the fucking gay pride parade and everyone's pissed at them. They're like, get the fuck out of here, assholes. This is like what we're working against, being labeled kid fuckers.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
They interview all the gay guys and they're like, yeah, we're fucking... Get rid of this guy.
Yeah, we don't do that. And every fucking one of those dudes says that they were molested as kids, too. So they especially don't like those fuckers.
Right.
Man.
When I was in college, my girlfriend's roommate, they lived on campus, would have her own soccer coach from high school over at the room or whatever. So there'd be this 50-year-old dude who would come through a college dorm for 4 girls, and I guess he fucked the roommate.
They're in college though, right? This is incredible. This is my dream.
But it was a high school girls soccer coach. So she was just grooming. She was being groomed or whatever.
He's like, okay, so
he didn't
when
you until college, but he's working on it in high school.
Yeah.
I had one of my science teachers, Coach Stan, Westmore Central High School. He fucked when my sister was a freshman, he fucked a senior. But she was 18 and the parents were like, whatever. And then, you know what she did for a living? Porn.
Yeah.
You know?
It happens. What came first, the chicken or the egg, though? That sounds like a bad egg to me.
Yeah, he was probably like a young teacher. He could have been like 27, like a young high school teacher.
Dude, yo, have you ever, like, seen a pornography? You ever see, like, when they have to interview the chick sometimes in the casting couch thing or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
But they always, like, they'll be like, so, when'd you lose your virginity? And the girl always says, like, 12. I was 12. And then they just kind of gloss over that. And like, let's move forward now.
Oh, okay. Oh, so, you meet guys in bars, you dirty whore.
So you were taught at a young age to use your sexuality in a wicked fashion. Sounds like you got fucked.
Anyway, so here's $3,500.
Hey, man, I can't fix it, but I will take advantage of it. Thanks, dads. Dude, I fucked a lot of daughters because of bad parenting.
Yeah? Just go in there with your cardigan?
I totally... Oh, you know, I'm going to talk about being hated in the comedy scene. Dude, they gave me nicknames and stuff. Did you get a nickname? I had a bunch of nicknames.
Go on.
Even when I came here, people were calling me shit. I was called Mr. Rogers on Acid. That was the nicest one. Andy Kaufman. They would just call me Andy Kaufman. Little Andy Kaufman's here. Which they considered an insult. Which, I don't know. Andy Kaufman sounds pretty good. He's definitely more well-known than these bar fly fuckheads that I used to hang out with.
Right.
Andy Kaufman.
Because it's like you're just doing comedy for you. You're like kind
of
off the wall.
I don't know. They didn't seem to know what to make of me. Because I did do jokes sometimes, but then I would also do stuff where I would do a joke and then leave. Even though it got a big laugh. I was like, all right, see you guys. I'll throw chairs and stuff. It's funny. I was like ranting about how I threw 2 chairs at a festival in New Orleans. And I didn't get in trouble. She loved it. The lady ran it, was fine with it. She didn't care. But I saw my friend this. He's like, yeah, you did that when you were in L.A. too, dude. Apparently, and since Meltdown got closed down, I could say this, but apparently at the Meltdown of him, I got picked up a folding chair and threw it in his audience, and I don't even remember doing this. Probably wasn't even high or drunk. Definitely wasn't drunk.
It was an artistic choice. You know, sometimes you're fired
up. Dude, I gotta laugh. When I threw the chairs in New Orleans, the first time I got a laugh, that's why I was bold enough to throw it the second time. The second time people applauded because I just bombed for 10 minutes, you know?
Did Meltdown go down because Hardwick's reputation?
I was wondering about that because they closed up real fucking fast. I noticed only a few months later. They closed in March and it's now June. He just got a scandal tossed out at him. Yeah, as if he abused him, he's pretty fucking gay. Chris Hardwick even sounds like a fucking gay. This is another fascination I have. It's like when gay dudes come to Hollywood, you can't just be gay, I guess, because in like China they hate gay people, so you have to be like a straight dude here. Yeah. But they always pick a fake name that implies gayness, like Tom Cruise.
Cruising.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like, by the way, in case you guys are wondering, you talk about that secret code and shit. There's the biggest secret code of all.
That's a red scarf.
He picked that name. Chris Hardwick. I don't know. It sounds a little suspect to me. I don't know what's going on.
You know, I'm really curious about Pete Applebottom.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Peter Applebottom. Yeah. I had another good one, too, that I forgot. Of someone who actually is totally gay. Like, out gay.
He was, like, accused of...
Wanting his girlfriend to publicly hang out with, publicly go on a date with another guy or something like that.
I don't know. That sounds reasonable. Hey, yeah. You're my girlfriend. Why are you dating someone else in front of me?
Oh, you're being emotionally abusive, okay? I have other friends.
He just broke up with her, it sounds like. I read the little, little exchange. He wrote a fucking book report to her. I don't even know what he's thinking. I just be like, see ya, I'm a fucking goddamn TV star and I've been fucking pussy for fucking goddamn... He was on MTV when it was cool to be on MTV. Like, what is this guy? This is a human wiener dog writing a fucking epic email to this fucking girl. Oh, well, you know, by the way, you know, I feel like you were unfaithful to me. It was like, fuck off, you dude. Are you for real? Are you for real, bro? Do you not understand women at all? You've been fucking them for so long. You just give it up easily, and now you've actually had a challenge.
It's like a Rubik's Cube.
Dude, he's never not been on TV. He was even on Shipmates in the 2000s. What the fuck is this dude doing? He should be just plowing through pussy like it's nothing. He also married a woman. I think the woman, the ex-girlfriend had an axe to grind because she, you know, they get pissed when you, like, bed up with the next one or get married or have a kid or something. Like, that was supposed to be them.
That was supposed to be me. But I was too irrational, and you didn't deal with enough of my bullshit.
And he married into, like, the fucking Rockefeller family or something. Yeah. I think he did the right thing. Smart dude.
So you think he just closed his theater, and he has plenty of money, and he's fine?
Oh, he's absolutely fine. Well, the comic book store closed, not just the theater.
Yeah.
The guy who ran it was a real piece of shit. I couldn't believe I outlived him in the comedy world. I was like, damn, dude, you had so much success there.
I noticed, like, a lot of, there was the host of that, and other things, like, they didn't have material. A lot of their stuff was just, like,
The host of that mic was Chris Hardwick's assistant.
Yeah.
That's it. After the news broke, I went on his Facebook and said, so, any news on your old boss? Didn't say shit. They're all such fucking phonies. Yeah. Like, let's say that Chris Hardwick was abusing that woman. He saw that shit. He's the fucking assistant.
It's
shit.
Yeah. Just.
And they hate being reminded of that. That's something that's
they're just, like, a lot of people are just scene cucks. They go, oh, this guy runs this show. This guy runs this show. So if they're rude to a bunch of people, Andrew Cole, if they're like huge dicks, I'm going to ignore their abuses, Harvey Weinstein. I'm going to ignore their abuses because they give me a spot and a half a week. It's like, so that they just start sucking up to people and ignore everything that bad that they're doing. So, like, I like to, like, keep a good eye on my friends. And, like, if you're such a bad... You're a bad friend and you're spineless. If your friend starts being a dick and you don't let them know. You know, in Jersey... You know, if one of my friends starts acting like a piece of shit, I go, yo, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You're supposed to be this person's girlfriend, but, you know, I saw you making out with another girl. Break up with this girl and then move on. Like, I was able to have those conversations with people because I don't know. I felt like it was my obligation to be like, yo, I know you very well. I can see that you're being a dick, so stop doing that. But some people, when they start getting attention from stand-up, which is super addicting, they don't want to lose their source, even if their dealer has really bad personality flaws. They'll ignore all that and just be a cuck of the scene. Oh, I want the stand-up scene that this person's running to keep running. You know, it's like every government position, you know?
That's how the world works. The only way to get to the top is to be a fucking sociopath.
Yeah.
That's it. All your elected officials are sociopaths. All your favorite movie and TV stars are fucking sociopaths. What we've seen is the tip of the iceberg. Harvey Weinstein's gonna go down as like a fucking nothing compared to what these evil fucks are doing. All the time.
Yeah. And sometimes
it's a sacrifice if they need it. Someone has to take the... Someone has to be the scapegoat so these other fuckers can get away with it. But they all do it. They all do it.
If Harvey Weinstein fucked me, like, I would, like, deduct the Uber to his hotel room as, like, a business expense. I would deduct the anal lube as a business expense.
Plenty of women fucked him without any qualms. You didn't have to rape a lot of them.
Yeah, right.
Talk about fucking girls since, like, MTV was cool. Like, Harvey Weinstein was the, like, sole proprietor, essentially, of Miramax.
Pulp Fiction and shit.
Since the 80s.
Oh, yeah, all your favorite movies.
Exactly. Like,
yeah, all the movies. If he was an executive producer, he definitely, like, fucked the face of, like, most of the girls that are talking on it.
It's actually beautiful, because some of the women aren't even complaining about it. Like, what's her fucking name? Jennifer Lawrence never say anything. She just fucked up straight up, no problem. It was like, I don't care.
Oh, and by the way, in this movie?
She's
cool.
A terrible actress. She has no range. Right. Somehow I think might have an Oscar. That's right. How much she was fucking this dude. But let me tell you, she has a smoking body. Like, she's in one of these fucking, not Spider-Man, but one of the comic book movies where she's like I can't even goddamn believe it. I think it's one of the X-Men movies, and I was watching it, and I was like, the whole time I was just watching it, I couldn't pay attention to the plot. I was like, Harvey Weinstein fucked this woman.
Yeah.
A bunch of times. It's crazy.
You think that's all CGI? Her hot ass?
I think it's definitely aided, but it's not all.
Like, it's unfucking real. Yeah. Like,
Rebecca Romijn, when she was the first X-Men, what's her character's name?
Leech? Ice Queen?
Leech Bajo? Mysterion? I don't know, whatever.
She was the one that Jennifer Lawrence played.
Yeah. But when Rebecca Romijn was hot enough to play that role, she was really hot. I wonder if she sucked out her voice instead. Anyway.
Dude, every comedian you ever see on Comedy Central sucked a slew of cocks to get there. It's just how it is, dude. These people are depraved, all of them, through the top to the bottom. I think about this kind of shit, too, because, like, I won't compromise myself. I don't give a fuck. I don't have to. I'm already suffering the slings and arrows of just being myself. I'll just keep being myself. I'm not going to suck anyone's dick. But a lot of my friends sure did. That's why they're on TV and I ain't. That's so struggling. I always wonder about that kind of stuff, because, like, at some point, if I want to get into the big leagues with these Masons and shit, the Freemasons, like, I have to do something evil or move home. So
what are you gonna do?
I'll probably move home. I don't know.
You're gonna put on that little...
I was raised better than that.
Put on that little maid costume and be like, oh, Dr. Weinstein, I'm just cleaning the furniture.
Dude, it wouldn't even work. You don't even know how many times gay dudes or straight dudes hit on me in Hollywood. My dick doesn't respond. I can't. It's nothing. It would be terrible. I just want you to know, like, Hollywood producers, it would just be embarrassing for both of us. Like, don't even
I wouldn't even get hard. It's like,
I wouldn't. And it would make me feel fucking bad. Like, you worked so hard to give me this Hollywood career, I can't even fucking get my dick up. You get to suck it. You can't even do that.
This is like a thing that's been not proposed to you, but like an avenue you've seen.
Oh, hell yeah. I've been here for 9 years, dude. I have seen it all. You know, I was going to say that. I'll give you an example. So, like, one time I did the show, and then this guy invited me over to this girl's birthday, and then they were going to go back to her house, and I sussed out pretty quickly that it was going to be, like, a sex type orgy thing. And, like, so there's two girls and two guys. I really only wanted to fuck the birthday girl, because the other girl didn't like me. She didn't want to fuck me, and I don't want to fuck the two guys. So I remember, like I'm sitting on this bed with this dude I know. As I knew this guy, I was like, well, I don't. I know you. I don't want to see your dick. I know who you are. Like, you're at the show tonight, whatever. So like, he's sitting right here, and the girl I want to fuck is sitting over here. So like, I'm just staring at her, like, hey, you maybe I could switch spots, because I definitely would have started making out with her at the very least. But like, I don't know. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I think I'm just uptight. I think I'm just a fucking square, dude. I think I'm too much of a square for Hollywood, and I'm the bad boy here. Worst reputation. That's so boring.
So what if you start making out with a girl and then he just took it out and like he just started putting it in your hand?
I have no idea what I would do in that scenario, but I have a bad feeling it would be very friendly.
You don't want to be an ice queen, do you? You want to be.
That's how girls' logic is, though. Like, I don't know, turn on the camera, but like, you know, this grandmother pussy stuff, like, that's how girls will fuck you. Like, if you're just hanging out with them and making out, that doesn't mean anything to them. They
you
make out.
You gotta make
you have to like, keep pushing it forward, and sometimes that means you have to take it out or put their hand on your dick. They need to know it's okay that you're gonna try to fuck them. Like,
it's like that thing in the podcast, girls hate more than the rapist.
Nice guy. That's one of my jokes. Dude, let me tell you about that joke. Okay, this is a joke. It's the greatest joke I've ever written. No one would ever steal it though because of the content, but it's the greatest joke ever. It's so fucking true. I say, the only thing a woman hates more than a rapist is a nice guy. Now, it's a fucking bomb every time I say it because I look out at the crowd and no girls will laugh at it. But they smile knowingly at it. And all the guys are fucking pissed. Because they don't understand why women don't like nice guys. Whereas it's readily apparent to me, as someone who's not a nice person, like, I get it. Like,
you're a pushover. You let people take advantage of you.
It's a turn off. Like, if you're a woman and you're thinking about mating with someone, do you want a man that's not going to protect your fucking kid?
Right.
You know, these are things that women are, like, not even consciously thinking about. It's in our fucking DNA. Mm. We're just put here to fuck and make kids. Otherwise, there's no point. We have to keep the species.
So you
got to
find the most ruthless person who's going to steal food from the other.
Amen, brother. Women have no morals. And it makes complete sense when you look at it from that point of view. They'll fucking dump you in a heartbeat. I have a motherfucker friend. I hope he doesn't hear this. Maybe I wanted to. Maybe. But I have this friend that moved here with his wife, and he's trying to do comedy, and he's like, oh, she's very supportive. She's like, you should go out every night. You should keep going. I was like, she's fucking any guy. Like, you were her vehicle to get to Hollywood to meet a rich dude. Or she would support you if you were good at comedy and got famous and wealthy there. But if you don't, Plan B is in action, motherfucker. And there's nothing wrong with that. Survival, like, it's in our fucking DNA, dude. It's just how we are. I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, the reason we're at the top of the fucking food chain, the very top of the food chain, is we are the most ruthless motherfuckers that have ever existed on Earth. All this peace and love and marching horse shit, we're ruthless motherfuckers. Do you think a lion would take a picture of him eating another lion and spread it throughout the lion universe to scare every lion? That's a human thing. We do that. We're fucking vicious, dude. We're at the top of that food chain for a purpose. A shark wouldn't do that. Shark is satisfied with eating and leaving. They're not malicious and vicious like we are. Mm. Dude, there's a reason why we climbed out of the muck and the rest of the shit stayed in the muck where it belongs.
Shit.
I'm very much into the idea that I hate globalism and stuff like that. We were the fucking greatest country that's ever existed. Let's just stay the fucking greatest. Dude, people risk prison to come here. Unbelievable. They risk losing their children at the border to come here. That's how fucking great this country is. Fucking sick of everyone shitting on it. We conquered you.
And they want to come across the border and then steal money from everybody else's fucking pocket.
Well, I don't care about that.
Come here and steal food from everyone else's fucking mouth.
They don't see it that way. They see it as, like, we're so wealthy. We are. We're so abundantly wealthy that we have the welfare to give them. They're not wrong. Like, we have billboards in America where they tell you not to throw food out. That's unfucking believable. In no other country in the world are people like being tisk for throwing food away. They're desperately looking for food all day, and we are just like, just throwing leftovers out. I do it too. It's because we're the top dog, and we can fucking afford to do that.
I got too much pasta. It went moldy. I didn't eat it all.
It's funny. We could have given that pasta to some homeless dude around the corner, but we never will. It's not the American way.
No, we're gonna let it rot in our fridge. That's my goddamn fridge. It's a goddamn America.
That's literally why
Olive Garden?
Yeah, Olive Garden. They
diddle you under the table when you're here, like, family. My family's fucked up, I guess. Sorry.
Yeah.
I did get a hand job one time at the Olive Garden, so it did feel like I was family.
That's really a lot of hospitality.
Let me tell you, you fucking a 19-year-old girl in Slidell, Louisiana, and you take her to the Olive Garden, it's like taking her to the Taj Mahal and saying, anything you want is yours. She couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you broke her brain.
$40 I spent on that meal.
She just started jerking out of appreciation. I'm not in the trailer now. Thank you, mister.
Right,
for the Alfredo. Yeah. When you hear your family.
The spaghetti.
All you can eat.
It's never ending. You had to stop that because the people were getting in the home. And then the people would come through and try to get it. They're like, no.
I don't know if this is still the case, but at In-N-Out, if you go up to the... they did this for years. It must still be the case. But if you go up to the... If you order in the drive-thru, you go up and you don't have any money, you'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. They just give you the food. Because they just made it anyway.
They're religious.
Hot tip for dirtbags.
They're religious.
If you want to exploit some nice people.
Anyway, I got a pee so bad, but we had a good podcast. Documentary session. The audio wasn't that good, but I think we got some good bits. Some serious good bits. So, anyway, that's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucker bag. With me, Skyler Neal, Joseph P. Larkin, and Plug Your Podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's why I came and did this.
Right?
I forgot. I do a podcast called We Three Trolls. We is spelled W, the number 3, THR, 3 3s, TR, the number, number 0, LLS. It's very hard to find. We're trolling you even as you
gotta
listen to it.
You gotta know HTML to find these motherfuckers.
Or just befriend me on Facebook, but don't do that. And you can click the link for me, but I don't want that.
Yeah, the links be noobs. It's a lot of threes.
Yeah, noobs.
I'm going on tour in September. I'll be in Mobile, Alabama sometime. I'm going to be in Lafayette. I'm going to be in New Orleans. I'm going to be in Houston, Austin, Phoenix, Las Vegas. Try to suck my dick. Anyway, later.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larkin.